And so, I'm sorry I'm going so fast. We timed ourselves before and we were over time, so I'm kind of speeding through this. But as I transition to the redistricting section, just wanted to point out that there's a case, there was a 1995 U.S. Supreme Court case, Miller versus Johnson, that we thought really pointed out the conundrum that districts can find themselves in, these competing hazards of liability that we sometimes face, that, you know, the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment restricts consideration of race, but there are times when the Voting Rights Act demands consideration of race. And so we found that case was helpful in explaining that if a plan includes a district that subordinates traditional race-neutral districting principles, the district is not simply rejected as a racial gerrymander. Instead, courts apply strict scrutiny to determine if the plan pursues a compelling straight interest and is narrowly tailored to achieve that interest. So only if traditional districting criteria are neglected and that neglect is predominantly due to the misuse of race does strict scrutiny apply. So we just underwent redistricting in Clear Creek ISD. We have a May election coming up and had a large population growth in the last census. And so what is provided for in state statute with respect to redistricting is in Education Code Section 11.052I, and it requires that not later than the 90th day before the first regular board meeting at which trustees may officially recognize and act upon the last preceding federal census, a board shall redivide a district into the appropriate number of trustee districts if the census data indicates that the population of the most populous district exceeds the population of the least populous district by more than 10%. And so that's the case we had in Clear Creek ISD. Fortunately, looking at the totality of the circumstances in our district, we did not have reason to be concerned about violation or potential liability under Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act. We've had many minority board members, and we have not had any challenges or concerns with regard to voting rights issues. And so we looked at traditional districting criteria, and criteria for consideration include maintaining easily identifiable geographic boundaries, communities of interest, avoiding splitting neighborhoods to the extent possible, maintaining existing whole districts and voting precincts to the extent possible, configuring single-member districts so they're relatively equal in total population. Although what we did in ours, we kept within that 10%, but we made the district where our demographers projected there being the greatest amount of future growth, the district with the smallest population, with the hope that maybe in 10 years' time, we won't have to go through this process again. Creating compact districts composed of contiguous territory and preserving incumbent constituency relations by recognizing the residents of incumbents and their history representing certain areas. So we took all of those factors into account. Here is a map of our previous district lines. And then here is just the data showing what happened. The kind of population growth resulted in a variance of 19.8% difference between our smallest district and our largest district. And so obviously we needed to rebalance. And so what the administration did was use some redistricting software that our demographer had to create five sample maps to present to the board in an open workshop. And fortunately, for the first time ever, we were able to present a map that pretty much aligned with our attendance zones for our five comprehensive high schools. So we have a 5-2 system with two at-large positions. And so the five districts, the plan that the trustees preferred was the one that aligned with the five attendance zones. And so that was published on the website. The public was very supportive of that. It seemed to make sense. It maintained communities of interest. So we were very fortunate in having a relatively smooth redistricting process. And so now I'll pass it along to Debbie.
That's it. Okay, all right. Okay, this is really cool. When Denise was up here, I saw her looking down here, and there's this big screen, and I can actually see it with my old lady eyes, so I'm really excited that I can actually see what I'm doing. Let me get through all these pretty pictures that are all in your... Okay, so Layla has done a fine job talking about redistricting and the Voting Rights Act, all of these things that happen before you even make it to the polls. But now is not the time to let down your defenses. We are just getting into more fun, more challenges. And I was telling Layla yesterday that this presentation kind of reminds me of one of my favorite movies, The Princess Bride, where we've made it up the cliffs of insanity only to be facing the fire swamp. And so we're about to jump into, you know, lightning sand and rodents of unusual size and all of that. So basically what I'm going to be talking about is challenges that can arise after the votes have been placed. And these are things like recounts, election contests, removal, and residency challenges kind of touch on that area. So we're just going to briefly, hopefully, if time permits, get to residency challenges. So I think everyone sitting in this room would agree that once upon a time, school board elections were pretty sleepy affairs. You know, there wasn't a whole lot of, you know, pomp, circumstance, whatever, surrounding school board elections, but I think we all can agree that things are changing. The climate has changed quite a bit in recent years. Actually, the New York Times today issued an article, and it was talking about in San Francisco, they just had a recall election where three of their board members were overwhelmingly recalled. And they referred to, you know, school board elections once upon a time as being sideshows to, you know, other more politically interesting elections. And I don't know, I kind of think sideshow is, you know, not fair, but it just goes to show that once upon a time,